Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Jethro Nolan.
Yes.
Good to be here at Arcade Comedy Theater.
Thank you. It's great to have you.
You are one of the five founders.
That's correct.
Of Arcade.
That's right.
It's kind of a Knights of the Round Table thing.
The metaphor I use is we're a great bank robbery team. there's myself and my wife, and there's Mike Urbino and Abby Fudor who are getting married, and then there's Randy Kirk who's married to somebody who doesn't do comedy for a living, if you can believe that.
Oh, we'll get her.
Indeed. But we're a nice bank robbery team that we have non-overlapping skills. Like there's the driver, the explosives guy, the sexy lady.
Does it take five to start a comedy theater?
It makes it a lot easier by having
than one. Yeah.
Yeah, than having every all the responsibility fall on one or two people. So.
How did this come about?
So there's been a long history of improvisational comedy in Pittsburgh. F&I at Pitt has been going for, 20 years or something. It's like the longest running improv show in the country. And at the Cabaret at Theater Square, they've had an ongoing show that has been hosted by members of Hustlebot for 4 or 5 years now. And Randy Kirk manages that space. And there's several, the people in Pittsburgh who wanted to do improvisational comedy would congregate there on Thursday nights, and several of us got together and talked about the idea of having an improv, or not just an improv theater, but a comedy theater dedicated to all sorts of comedy, improv, sketch, stand-up, etc. And after too many drinks, we decided, yeah, let's stop just talking about it, actually do it. And lo and behold, we've been able to make it fly.
And I think you have just approached or are swiftly approaching your one-year anniversary.
That is correct. We've got one successful year under our belt, so that's a big accomplishment for us.
And see, I had thought that you'd actually been here longer, and I think that that's a good thing, because something is going on here every single weekend.
Yeah, we got shows 8 and 10 o'clock on Friday night and Saturday night, and then on Sunday night at 7 we have our improv shows and an improv jam later that evening.
And whenever something new kind of comes about, in this city, I always wonder, is it serving a need? Is there a niche for it? But, clearly there is, because, like I said, there's something here every single weekend, and improv troupes in this city seem to be, multiplying like rabbits.
That's right.
Is that a good sign?
I think it is. I think improv is a fantastic art form, and I think the comedy scene in general in Pittsburgh is incredibly explosive. There's so much great stuff happening. There's a stand-up, there's an open mic, at least one open mic a night somewhere in the city. The scene is really growing by leaps and bounds. It's fantastic. It's wonderful to have people not just being passive consumers of art on TV and the internet, but actually creating it themselves.
What do you think is the appeal of improv?
Well, the appeal of improv is a couplefold. First of all, you have less risk in terms of going out there and trying to be funny. Like if you do stand-up and it goes badly, there's really no one you can blame because it's just you out there. So it's clearly a judgment that you suck. if you do improv and it sucks, you can always blame the other guy.
Or you can say, hey, I had no script to work with.
Yeah, exactly. But there's no lines to forget. That's another plus for improv. But also it's the sort of social mechanism. It gets you an opportunity to meet and hang out with people. So there's definitely a sort of social / cult element to it. But it's really the mechanics of creativity boiled down to their most basic elements. And it's very, very addictive.
The
act of performing improv is something that's always kind of terrified me. Mm. You know, I mean, I have my roots in the theater, and every actor's nightmare, or at least mine, is going out onto stage and forgetting your lines or not having your script. Yeah. And that's kind of what improv is a little bit. And I'm such a planner. You know, I've got to have a plan. I need to know what's happening. And I watch improv artists, and I'm almost kind of jealous because it's that they just get out there and throw caution to the wind, and whatever happens, they're in the moment, and they're doing it. I mean, what is the craft or the process to achieving that level of reckless abandon?
Well, I would say a lot of it is practice, and also being comfortable with not knowing and being present in the moment. Like the best improvisers are the ones who can pay attention to everything that's going on with their scene partner and not have any preconceived agendas in their head that they're married to. So it's definitely a different skill set, but they're complementary because I think the best actors and even the best stand-ups benefit from having improv in their background.
So in order to approach improv, I think I need to let go of some things. It's like a Dalai Lama Zen thing.
It very much is. There's a popular saying in improv, follow the fear. So if you're not doing something that makes you scared, then you're not trying hard
enough. That's awesome. It's kind of like sport theater almost.
It is. It's not. It's no accident that the two of the big improv franchises are comedy sports and the Improv Olympic, both named after athletic events. And again, it shares with athletic events that the outcome is in doubt. We don't know how it's going to end. It's not, if you go see Hamlet, pretty sure you know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
Unless it's some, you know, Disney-fied version in which, you know, don't worry, we'll figure it out. Let's get married, Ophelia.
It happens.
I'm sure it does. But in improv, the outcome's in doubt. Like, oh my God, they might totally fail, which is exhilarating when they do pull it off.
And I think it's important to mention that part of the operations of Arcade Comedy Theater is an educational wing or department.
Yes, so Christy Nolan and myself, we've been doing improv for about 20 years, and we've taught quite a bit around the world. We've taught in Chicago for the Second Cities Training Center. We've done workshops in Amsterdam with Boom Chicago and also in Los Angeles. And so when we talked about starting a theater, we very much wanted to have an educational element because, you know, you know, improv comedy is something that we love dearly, and we want to make sure that we are training other people how to do it because it's a fantastic, it's a great art, but a horrible business, I have to say. So it's a wonderful hobby. It's just don't expect to make your living on it.
So what is your approach to teaching something that I imagine comedy might be difficult to teach or guide if somebody didn't, you know, have that knack for it, that immediate spark.
Yeah, and you mentioned sort of Zen earlier. There's definitely a Zen element of it. One of the things that we battle against, particularly early in improv classes when people are just starting, is they try to be funny. And we've seen people try to be funny. And no one who's trying to be funny actually is funny. You say, oh, they're trying to be funny as a way of saying they were totally not funny at all. So you have to kind of shoot for being honest and true and let the comedy come to you. If you aim for funny and you miss, then you're just mediocre and sad and pathetic. If you aim for truth and fall short, then you'll at least be interesting, so the theory goes.
You have opened my eyes.
Well, thank you.
Maybe can we try like a little improv right now, like instantly?
Sure,
what do we need? We need a setting?
We can start with anything. Why don't we just start with a relationship between the two of us, like co-dentists or something.
Okay.
Co-dentists.
All right. Co-dentists. Yeah. And go from there?
Yeah. We'll go from there.
How's the floss today, Bill?
It's still cinnamon.
Yeah, mint over here.
Yeah. You had a great root canal the other day. I wanted to compliment you on that.
You know, thank you.
You're welcome.
You don't really hear that enough around here. You know, we dentists, ironically, are all very closed mouth about some things.
It is. It's true. I mean, we spend so much time in other people's mouths, we hardly get used to our own.
This is true.
Listen, it's hard for me to not say this, but I really admire your work. Like, you're good. You are a great dentist.
Oh, no. It's funny you say that because I've actually been thinking of retiring.
No, early. Don't.
I do.
You know,
I'm getting a little long in the tooth.
No, that would be a crime. If to deny your skills to the teeth of Pittsburgh would be horrible.
Yeah, it's just the sound of the suction spit thing just doesn't light me up so much so that I can't even remember the technical name for it anymore.
I know.
How do you cope day in and day out? What gets you through?
I wake up every morning and my mirror, there's a picture of you, and I say, until I'm that good, I have to keep trying.
You've brought a smile to my smile today. I truly am touched.
I'm glad.
Well, let's get some nitrous oxide and have ourselves a party.
Hell yeah.
And scene? Is that a good place to close? It seemed like a good button.
Yeah.
All right. Well, not bad for kind of a first, try. Just stepping out there.
I mean, the whole idea of improv is a yes and. Mm. Yes, I agree with what my scene partner puts out there, and then the and part is I add a little piece to it.
Right.
I yes and you, and you yes and me. And you can spend your lifetime trying to get better and have a deeper understanding of what yes and means.
Yeah, I think just say no kind of puts a wall there. You really can't go anywhere.
Exactly. It says, okay, you're contributing something? Guess what? That's not right. And so it forces the improviser to sort of gather themselves and offer a new thing.
And being a good listener, I think, really plays into it, too.
Not just listening, but also all sorts of observation. I mean, the more you can pay attention to the physicality, the more tuned you in, more tuned in you are to the sort of emotional expression of the other player, the better you're going to be able to build on that.
What do you look for in a good comedian?
Good comedian. Do you mean stand-up or just all around?
Well, stand-up, because there are a lot of stand-up performers that do perform on this stage.
I would say that the attributes of the best comedians are the people who can say things that you instantly recognize but would not have thought of yourself. There's a great example, Louis C.K., who has not yet performed at the Arcade, although fingers crossed.
Working on it.
We are. We are totally working on it in that it will never happen.
Never say never.
I just did.
He may see this.
I would, Louis, if you're out there, I dare you to perform at our humble theater.
Take that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, so it's not going to happen. So he has a rather famous bit that's when he was on panel at Conan, he was talking about how everything's wonderful and nobody's happy. Like, people are miserable about their cell phones. And he's like, you know, the worst cell phone in the world is a miracle. Like, it's fantastic. So it's one of those things that we all experience that frustration of, oh, the cell phone doesn't work. But Louis C.K. observed it and articulated it in a way that is instantly relatable, but for some reason nobody else had said it before. So that skill, to be able to find something that everybody can relate to and recognize as true, but nobody else yet came up with, is an incredibly powerful skill for a comedic performance.
Now, see, if I were to approach it, and actually I have. I've done stand-up here, in fact.
You have indeed. You did a lovely job.
And, you know, putting that together, my thoughts were, you know, it's like everything's already been said. Everything's already, you know, they've all come up with it already.
Yeah. There's a writing teacher I had back in Chicago who says, we're all searching for the same Easter eggs. I mean, like, we all have the sort of same stuff from which life is composed, and so we're trying to find a new, fresh angle on it, or a comment that has...
Paint them egg a different color.
Exactly.
Now, as a performer, do you yourself prefer stand-up to improv, or improv to stand-up?
I mean, I love them both. I grew up in the sort of 80s comedy boom, so I watched a lot of stand-up on television, so I have an incredibly high appreciation for the great stand-ups of you know, my childhood, like George Carlin. I mean, I watched Johnny Carson all the time, and he was legendary for his ability to turn someone famous overnight. As far as actual performance, I do way more improv, possibly because I'm so busy that I don't have time to sit down.
There's no prep.
Exactly. Well, and also my wife's an improviser, so that it's a lot easier to improvise with her at home as opposed to say, honey, I'm going to go out.
So is like your daily routine at home just completely improvised? Like as far as what's for dinner, who's going to get groceries?
Yeah, I mean, it is, but to the extent that everyone's life is improvised because you don't come out of the womb with a script. But yeah, it's very much improv that I've loved to perform over the years, and one day I'll get good enough that I'll move on to other things. But I really like it.
Now, you mentioned the 80s, and that struck me because the theme of this theater is 80s arcades, or 80s arcade games.
Yeah.
Where was the connection? Your love of 80s era comics?
It wasn't my idea. I think Mike Rubino came up with it, but we were sort of spitballing ideas, and I think from what he said, there is a history in Pittsburgh of like the first Nickelodeon being in Pittsburgh.
Yes, that is true.
And so I think it was sort of a tip of the hat to Pittsburgh history, and we like the idea of arcade being sort of fun and inviting and a fun place to hang out. And some of the graphic designs elements and some of the audio elements are very much the sort of early Nintendo types of music everything. They're a lot of fun. Although they occupy a particular place in my mind because that's when I was growing up, but some of the people who are younger than me are like, what? This music's ridiculous.
They don't get it. Sometimes people just don't get the joke.
They think Halo is an old game.
Oh, God. Oh, no, don't start.
These kids today.
Critics. Yeah. Well, at least they're not throwing tomatoes. It could be worse.
That's true.
You know, this space, you've really created something. It's intimate, you know, and I think that's really part of its charm. I've seen a couple of shows here, and it can be overflowing or just like a nice solid house, and everybody is having a great time. Everybody feels very connected.
We're very lucky in that there's not fixed seating, so that we're able to adjust based on the number of audience members we anticipate, so we can always sort of sit people rather closely together, which certainly helps from a comedy perspective, because the last thing you want is 12 people spread out over a seating for 100, because
that's
death for comedy. But yeah, we've been very fortunate that we have as flexible a space that we do. We've been able to do quite a lot with it. And the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust is our landlord, and they've been an incredible supporter of us.
Very good.
We would not be where we are without them, so tip of the hat to our friends.
Now, aside from booking Louis C.K., any grand plans for the future?
I would like for us to continue to grow. There's a lot of great stuff happening in the Pittsburgh comedy scene. I just want to continue for the arcade to be a vital part of that. I want to be the place that audiences want to come see a show, and I want to be the place that performers want to come and perform. And as long as we keep focusing on that, I think there's no way that we're going to fail.
And I think in a very short time, you have certainly achieved that.
Thank you very much.
Indeed.
We're very pleased with where we are.
And I think Pittsburgh is pleased, too. And we encourage them to come down to Liberty Avenue every Friday and Saturday.
That's
yes?
Right. And Sunday. There we go.
Down here at Arcade Comedy Theater for laughs and good times.
Excellent.
Thank you, Mr. Nolan.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Indeed.
Here's to comedy.
To comedy.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.